At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello and welcome to Required Reading, the podcast that revisits the most impactful books from our childhood. I'm your host, Erin Bowles. I am a writer, an actor, and a comedian. And our guest today is our first guest. She did The Summer Turned Pretty. She did Airhead. She's here with one of the most iconic books from the aughts. It's Georgia Schenk. Welcome.
Hi, I've missed being here. I'm so happy to be back.
Yes. And this book, oh my goodness, from 2004 by Harrison, or Lizzie, I don't know, is The Click.
Yes. So we are here with one of, I credit this with my deepest insecurities from childhood, from Lisi Harrison, which is so funny because when you look at how this book started, it actually was written as a satire by Lisi Harrison, who used to work for MTV. And it's so funny that like the point of it was to show you how ridiculous these girls are and like this kind of social world is. But reading it as a sixth grader, that didn't transcend. And so I was like, no, I must become like this immediately. So I immediately was in Claire's shoes wanting to be a Massey.
This book is about a new girl in school, sixth grader, who has to live in the guest house of the queen bee, who is Massey. Claire is our new girl. Massey is the head of her friend group named the Pretty Committee. And Claire is just trying to make it work to fit in. And do we feel like that's most of it?
Yeah, that's a good chunk of it. So I think we start the book off with Massey being forced cruelly by her parents into missing a middle school party to attend meeting the Lyons family, which is Claire, her younger brother Todd, and her two parents. So her father is like college buddies with Massey's dad. And immediately they're off to a bad start because Claire's family, like as a peace offering to Massey, has given her a silver charm for her gold charm bracelet. And this is a massive no-no in Massey's world.
Which is also hilarious because we've been texting each other nonstop for like the last week about charm bracelets and charm necklaces. I have a necklace because my wrists must be free.
Erin, are you a gold or a silver girly?
I guess silver? I really don't have any idea. I mean, my charms are mixed. Disgusting.
Yeah, Massey, if she was here, would tell you that's quote unquote tacky, as I saw. Yes. And immediately I took my charm bracelet home when I was reading this. And I was like, I need to separate my gold and my silver. Like, it still affects me. I'm like, no, she's so right. But yeah, as an adult woman, I'm a silver girl. But I think at the time, I was like trying to force myself in the gold box. And I don't know that I ever have resonated as a gold girl like Massey.
Well, speaking of the time, it's 2004.
Yes.
It is.
This is a post-9/11 world.
Yes. The year kicks off with the Janet Jackson malfunction at the Super Bowl. Then Mark Zuckerberg launches the Facebook. Martha Stewart is found guilty. We invaded Iraq a year before. This is the year that Pat Tillman, NFL star, is killed by friendly fire. Abu Ghraib prisoner abuse is revealed on 60 Minutes. This is what we're talking about when talking about The Click. The Nintendo DS comes out. Drake and Josh comes out. National Treasure comes out. It is, it's a moment in time.
And as you so rightfully pointed out, this book predicted the iPad.
By 6 years. There is something about the girl Massey and how she sets up her Apple computer that she says like, oh, and we jokingly call it the iPad. 6 before Steve Jobs launches the iPad in 2010.
Crazy business. Lisi Harrison was just like mega mind, predicting trends. There was also This comes in the later books, but there was something called Glossop Girl, which is a daily mail subscription where you got like a brand new lip gloss flavor every day. And what does that remind me of? But Ipsy.
Precisely. Oh my God.
I've always wanted Glossop Girl to be real.
I also wonder, like, I mean, Steve Jobs had a daughter. Was she reading the click? Was she like, Dad, I've got a name for the next thing?
Maybe we should just call Eve Jobs up and find out.
I wonder if that's in her memoir. Yeah.
Another thing that I thought was really interesting. So, another one of the characters that we get introduced to is Lane Avely, who is like, if I was reading the books today, Lane is, I think, who I would resonate with the most, just as like the uncool marches to the beat of her own drums. She is described as looking like a girl Tom Cruise. And that made me realize that, like, Suri was a little tiny baby at the time this book would have come out, but now she's a grown adult woman.
And Suri, to me, at least, is a carbon copy of Katie Holmes.
Yeah, but it's crazy to think about, like, oh my gosh, I'm so old now.
Do I look like a female Tom Cruise?
No, you do not look like a female Tom Cruise.
Okay, well.
But speaking of the Avelys, we are also introduced to Chris, who is Massey's crush in the books. And he is described as a firsty lasty, meaning when she brings him up, they want to call him Chris Avely. This is something I have always done with my crushes. And I'm very curious if this is where it started. But yeah, Chris is like the mischievous boy who rides horses with Massey in the woods and goes to the brother private school. I really don't think, and this is something we'll get into a little bit more as the episode goes on, I'm sure, that Massey was that off for thinking that Chris was flirting with her.
No, not at all. And it's okay if he's a flirt. It's
Yeah,
fine.
Chris has a long-term girlfriend and allegedly is not flirting with Massey. But this is debatable because when we first meet her, he is winking at her, saying, it's a date. Like, I would call those signs at my big age of 29 years old.
I would too. It's so mind-blowing. Oh, what, they're in seventh grade, not sixth
Yes.
grade. That's a different book I just read. But still, it is so mind-blowing that this is seventh grade. And I don't know if I've told you this. I was not allowed to because my mom said it would make me mean.
Sorry, you cut out for a second. Did you say your mom wouldn't let you read the books
Yes,
because?
she thought they would make me mean.
I don't know if they made me mean or anybody I know mean, but they definitely made me like deeply insecure. Painfully so. The first book we read on here together was The Summer I Turned Pretty, and reading these books was the summer I would only wear Juicy Couture sweatsuits. And nobody else I knew was like deeply into labels or anything. This was like a prison of my own invention.
Yeah. So that was going to be my question. Like, one of the things that people talk about the most in discussions of these books is the brand name droppings and the incredible amount of luxury goods in this series.
So much like to the point where I remember distinctly. And I don't know if it's mentioned in the first book, but I know what their signature perfumes were. Like Claire was a Chanel number 5, and Alicia wore Angel by Thierry Mugler. And so I, as a brunette with like premature boobs, was like, well, I guess I have to wear Angel by Thierry Mugler. Also because that was the only one that I could find in my mom's bathroom sink. I was like, so this will be my signature scent. And as a consequence, I was told by the girls in my gym class that I smelled way too strong of adult perfume.
And you read all of the books? Most of the books? There's 21 books.
I read through Brat Fest at Tiffany's, which I think is like book 13.
My God.
Several books happen in this series that like take a turn for the strange. At one point, Claire becomes a famous actress. Did you
Okay.
know this?
No, I don't know anything about any of these books.
So Clara gets a part in a movie as like the lead, and she becomes like a famous actress. That one's called Dial L for Loser. Massey doesn't get her first kiss until much further on in the series with a boy that they like go to a sleepaway camp retreat. And
Got it.
his name is Derek Harrington, but they call him, get ready for this, Darrington.
Gross.
I know. And so I was a little like jarred by the fact that Darrington wasn't in this book at all. He does appear later on.
Speaking of how you refer to crushes at this age, the thing in my school was you would assign them a nickname that would be secret. So I remember the biggest crush. It wasn't mine, it was my best friend's. We called him Toast.
Oh, why?
I don't know. I think it was probably just at the lunch table, we need a name. Here's something. Let's toss it out. So many conversations about toast. Yeah.
The boys at your lunch table, like, did you have the long, like, rectangle ones that like 20 people had to sit on, or did
Oh,
you have a
yes.
circle?
No, the really long ones.
Okay, so the boys, like, further down at your lunch table were probably like, these girls love breakfast sides. That's
Typically
crazy.
big breakfast
These girls
menu.
are going nuts for toast.
No, the boys were all playing with tech decks that had been
Okay.
banned.
Oh, I do
Contraband
remember
tech
tech
decks.
deck. Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
There was a lot of gambling going on around them. I think that's why they got banned.
Oh my gosh. Claire gets a crush later on in the books, and his name is Cam Fisher. And I think Cam Fisher like defined my taste in boys, like right when it was starting. Cam Fisher, I'll never forget, had two different colored eyes. And I thought this was the most fascinating thing in the world.
I actually had a crush on a guy when I was in third grade who had two different colored eyes and a mohawk. And I don't know why. I don't know why I had a crush on that
I
person.
mean, he sounds really interesting.
Yeah, he was 2 years
I
older
could.
than me and a
Okay.
patrol guard on the bus. He was
Okay.
all safe. He had
Okay,
one of
so
the
he's like in a
highlighted
position of
belts.
authority. He's a
Yeah.
little bit of a bad boy because he's got a mohawk. No, I'm seeing the vision.
I so clearly remember one time the Mohawk was somehow painted to look like the American flag.
Oh,
It's
so he's
amazing.
also a patriot. Okay. He's like a rebel with the cause. Okay, got
Yeah.
it. Speaking of the times, there was one last thing that I noted down about like the world we were living in. Claire's mom like tries to throw out a nice suggestion to her, and instead, Claire like bites back with, "Nice one, mom. Why don't you go solve the crisis in the Middle East?" Like, oh my God, Claire. It's the meanest thing by far that Claire says to her parents at all. But I was like, whoa, Claire.
Claire's going through it. Claire gets a tub of gazpacho dumped on
Dumped on her head in the pool.
her head. Talk to me about this character of Claire. She's very much the fish out of water audience insert, but I think Massey, the mean girl, is so much more interesting as a character.
I do find like Massey psychologically so interesting. But yes, to start out with Claire. Claire is from Orlando, Florida. She is a seventh grade girl who likes to wear graphic tees that say, like, good girls go to Orlando, bad girls go to Miami. She wants so badly to be liked. She has the horrific crime of the early 2000s of liking sugar. Like, this, thank God this was 2004 and not 2008, so that nobody could force her to like have a wee fit.
Oh my gosh.
Like,
Although one
I
of the
felt,
characters is on a diet, is on a
yes.
zone diet. Yeah.
Dylan is on a zone diet. They constantly criticize her for being a size four. And I think that's just, it's like, it really reminds you how cruel we were to women,
Oh my
but especially like young girls back then with their
Oh my
bodies.
goodness.
It's just like so awful. But Claire eats gummy worms, and so therefore she is ostracized by her peers. I don't know if Massey or Alicia or any of the other characters aside from Dylan are really ever spoken to have eaten anything at all, aside from that gazpacho that gets poured on Claire's head.
And really the only perspectives we get are from Claire and from Massey. But Massey was so interesting to me because Harrison writes such a clear and defined an immediate fear of being left out, brutally craving acceptance. That was really, really surprising to me.
What I find so interesting about Massey is that we are really led to believe, at least from Claire's perspective, and depending on how you're reading her when she's in her own perspective, that Massey is this confident, self-assured, knows who she is and like what is like in and out in the world. And I think if you really look at her, she's actually the most insecure character by far, because she is constantly self-analyzing, self-critiquing. How is the world perceiving me? What do I need to do? Be in. And I think if anybody questioned that just a little bit, her world would crumble. And so that's why Massey is so like fascinating to me and like the most interesting character, in my opinion, just because like I like seeing that inner dichotomy.
Yeah, Claire has some internal conflicts of sort of, do I go popular girls when they start to accept me, or do I go with Lane, who's weirder and different and independent? But Massey is like, in Massey's perspective, the stakes are sky high, which is, I like, that's how it feels when you're a teenager. That is, seventh grade is awful.
Right. Like, there's one point where Isaac, her, like, driver, gets mad at her for being mean to Claire. And Massey is, like, off in the middle of the courtyard already having a conversation with an eighth grade girl, which means just, like, 1 year older. And Isaac is, like, yelling at her, and she's mortified. And first, I just wanted to say it's really, like, bold. And I was, like, impressed with Isaac to stand up to this like child tyrant. I'm also like impressed with Massey's parents for like not really coddling her. Like, they do tell her she's being a brat like several times throughout the book, which just leads me to believe, how did Massey turn out this way?
There's like a throwaway line about being an only child, and I think that might have a lot to do with it.
Yeah, I think that definitely could be. We've talked about this a little bit off mic about how Lisey Harrison is writing a book currently with the girl who played Claire in the movie adaptation about like the click girls as adults. And I believe it's set in New York City. So I'm really interested to see like how Massey's personality has changed or gelled in modern times with that in mind.
Yeah. You know so much more about this than me, but they have a podcast, first off, they have a podcast, but all I really saw was that, of course, by the rules of logic, Massey's little dog has died. So her new pet.
No, not Bean.
Exactly, Bean.
That's heartbreaking. I don't know why I like put that out of my mind, but that is so tragic. My dog is named Beatrice, and I call her Bean all the time. So that just, like, really hit me at, like, a guttural level.
I think the new pet is, like, a gray sphinx, a hairless cat.
See, I don't see Massey as a cat person. I feel like she should get, like, an Italian greyhound.
Yeah. I think Massey is, like, too insecure to have a cat.
Yeah. I feel like Massey would be really miffed if the cat like was leaving her out or like didn't want to be around her.
Exactly my thoughts. Yeah, she needs the constant adoration and affection of a dog.
Yes, but my version of listening to the Lisey Harrison podcast back in the day was that Lisey Harrison had a weekly blog, and this was spelled B-L-A-H-G. And as a 12-year-old, I was like, this is the most clever mind in America. And so I would make my mom, like, let me borrow her smartphone with 3G internet, which was a newly released thing at the time, so I could go and read Lisey Harrison's blog. And I
loved
it. What
did she blog about?
Mostly the books. And she would have, like, other tweenagers who read this blog, like, suggest titles of like snarky things like Bratfest at Tiffany's for the next book. Or there was like a prequel to the series that was called Charmed and Dangerous, I think. That was like a New Year's Eve deal. P.S. I Loathe You. I'm like trying to name as many of them off the top of my head as I can think of.
Oh my goodness.
Really crazy, crazy business. And I couldn't miss it ever. We would be at the Green Turtle and I would be like, I need to check the blog. Please.
For those of you who don't know, the Green Turtle is a chain of sports bars, which is a really critical element to how funny that is. Do you remember like the first time you were exposed to this or how it initially came into your life?
I remember seeing the Popular Girls at my school reading it. And so like many other books from my childhood, I was like, well, I need to read this immediately since everyone else around me is. But my parents like wouldn't take me to the bookstore. So the only one I could get my hands on was the third book, which is from Alicia's perspective. So I did read that one first. And it's like the heftiest of all the books. But I was like, I am missing so much context right now. Why are all these girls mad at each other? I needed the lore. So I hunted down the first two. Like in terms of page count.
Okay.
Also, I believe Alicia like goes to Spain in that book. So parts of it are in Spanish. And so I was like Google translating. And I was like, wow.
A crazy move by Lisa Harrison.
It was really, really wild. So I was like, I feel like I'm missing so much context, which I was, because the first two books drive in a lot of the lore that you need to know to understand what's going on with these girls. And so I like went back, dove into the first two books. And I was like, okay, well, now I need the entire like cinematic universe of this. And I thought it was like so fascinating. Another thing that I got really into because of these books, because I really couldn't get enough of the world, was like online role plays.
Oh.
So I would like search the click role plays. I would find other 12-year-old girls to like imaginary online act out this universe with. And that was another like totally different element of it.
Were you playing an existing character or an
original
character?
I was playing one of the main characters. I got to the group last, so I got like last pick, and I ended up with Kristen. Funny enough is also how I found out about like the fashion website Polyvore, which was like another outlet where I would like online role play like well into like my late teens, like well after I was done with the click books. So I totally forgot until just now that that was how that all started.
And Polyvore was mostly just making outfits, right?
Yes. So Polyvore originally started as like fashion mood boards. So I guess the click girls really took to it because we could type in like the buzzwords that Lisa Harrison was saying to us, like Chloe skirt, and like try to like pin together what we thought those outfits were. And then we could like
so fun.
It was honestly really fun. And like I'll have to go back in to my archives because I think I have like a fictional version of Kristen's locker that I built out of like collaging it together. So I'll definitely send you that. But yeah, it was just like a cute way to like bring the storybook to life before the Tyra Banks movie was like in existence. Yeah,
Tyra Banks was a part of it.
Yeah, Tyra Banks for some reason made the first and only click movie.
Sly, go off.
Yeah, go off, Tyra.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. But we would like pick who we wanted to be like the face claim characters for the book, and I remember for some reason Misha Barton was who they had playing Kristen. I don't think I chose it. She would have been like obviously way too old to be a middle school girl.
But was very au courant.
I think like if we were really going with like the book descriptions, that would have been pretty accurate.
Yeah. Where were you doing this? Was this in LiveJournal?
It was Pro Boards.
Never heard of that in my life, baby.
I know. It's like a real real deep cut. But I would also use ProBoards for like Harry Potter role playing. And my mom found out about that and thought I was talking to like 40-year-old men on the internet, and I got in big trouble. But for some reason, it wasn't a big deal when I was doing it for the click.
I guess your mom was like, 40-year-old men can't be interested in that.
Harry Potter, maybe. But I don't think 40-year-old men want to know what the latest in Ralph Lauren with middle school girls is.
TTYL, which is
oh.
all chat script.
TTYL was drama. Drama yeah. City. I am not like a big expert on TTYL, but I know that like one of the girls in that book had a sneaky relationship with either like a coach or a teacher. And I was like scandalized by that when I would pick it up from like my sister reading it.
I don't think I got very far in it at all. I remember that there was something sexual mentioned. I don't have any like memory of what it was. And I remember there was so much code. Like parents were referred to as rents. Very clunky. But I guess it's kind of a brilliant strategy to, if you want to sneak in really heavy or like scandalous stuff, is to put it in this at chat speak. And no adult is going to read that. No adult is going to sit through that.
You know what's so funny is when I was in middle school, I would like pass notes with my friends, but I insisted that we had to write AIM screen names, even though these notes were being passed on physical pieces of paper. I was like, yeah, but you got to come up with a chat name. I think because I was like still too young and AIM was being like phased out, but I didn't want to miss out on that experience. Like, I really
they have chats in this, I guess they're texts mostly.
Yeah, chats
and
take a really big part of the Click book, the first one, because Claire hacks into Massey's AIM account and like forges her identity and like causes rifts in all of her friendships.
She like spills secrets, turns them against each other.
Yeah, she calls Dylan fat
yeah.
in a roundabout way, which is really mean. That's like honestly the meanest thing I think Claire does in this book.
Yeah. What a book. And the iconic covers. Yeah, there's just something like, I don't know. It's the exclusivity.
Something about like carrying around a new Click book with you at the time with like whatever your Vera Bradley purse pattern was really made you feel like, this is how I'm expressing myself. I was like, today I'm a Burberry book cover with navy and Daisy Vera Bradley purse. And that's who I want to present to this seventh grade hallway today.
Oh man, girls were wearing Vera Bradley well into 2015 when I graduated high school. I had one Vera Bradley like little coin purse that I think was given to me and I never used it. And that was...
I really remember feeling at the time like your Vera Bradley pattern chose you. And I was so jealous of the girls who had like the pink paisley Vera Bradley because I was like, wow, they're so cool. Do you know what I mean?
Not quite. I think because I was Claire very much.
Okay.
I like watched other people kind of perform femininity and understand that just like, I haven't gone to the school that teaches that.
Right.
Like, there were definitely moments I started like experimenting with eyeliner my senior year of high school. And I was basically just like, how do these people learn these things? How do you know? Because my mom
it's
never
so
like sat
crazy
me
to me
down
because
and
like obviously we did have YouTube, but like makeup tutorials were not what they became in like 2015. We had Miley Cyrus lyric videos that were on like a hot pink background and made on PowerPoint. That's what our YouTube was at the time. Or Charlie Bit My Finger. We did not have makeup tutorials. And so
oh,
subsequently, I did not learn how to do my eyeliner properly until I had like graduated high school. It didn't stop me from trying, but there are just a lot of project photos of me with like winged eyeliner attempts.
Yeah. Did I already ask this, what character you identified with most?
I think if we're really looking at this from like, let's call it a zodiac thing. I present as a Massey sun. I'm a Lane moon and a Claire rising.
Okay.
What about you?
Gosh, maybe I'm like a Lane kind of through and through, but I definitely have those aspects. I sympathized so much with how lonely Massey was and
Yeah.
how scared and anxious and craving of acceptance that she was. I think that was so universal. And I kind of wanted to be, you know, really different from other people, but I think I liked the things that I liked. A lot of my clothing was like just whatever's most comfortable. I don't know. I think I wanted to be accepted, but I don't think I wanted to do the things that would be required of me to be
okay.
Michael.
That's a really probably healthy way to be. But I think there's a really interesting part of the book where they're having the big sleepover. And Massey like poses a question to the group, like, would you rather be a friendless loser or would you rather be a person with tons of friends who secretly hate you? And in her head, she's like, I would rather be a person with tons of friends who secretly hate me, but everybody says friendless loser. And so she's like, no, yeah, me too, totally. As an adult, obviously, I would say friendless loser. But if I was a middle school girl, and I was at one point in time, the honest to God answer would have been a ton of friends who secretly hate me. And I think Massey in that moment was like the only one being honest with herself, or at least internally. I don't know if all the other girls felt that way too, since we don't get their inner monologue, but I do think that's how it would have been at the time.
It's really interesting that you said the third one is from Alicia's perspective. Is that correct? Do they sort
yeah,
of
so
focus and lean
something
into
happens
characters?
In the second book. I can't even really remember what it is, but something happens between Massey and Alicia where Alicia is like ousted from the group and she decides she wants to be her own like quote unquote alpha. This is also like where I first remember hearing the term alpha before it became a thing with like 12-year-old boys. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is really where that first like became a thing in my recollection. And so Massey always refers to Alicia as a beta, and Alicia breaks off to like start her own group as the alpha with like knockoff members of the pretty committee.
And the name Pretty Committee is otherworldly.
I find it so fascinating that when we look at things like Heathers and Mean Girls, there was like this idea that like if a group of girls became friends, that everybody called them something. And I've never once encountered a group of girls where I was like, those are the snapbacks, because they all wear snapbacks on Tuesdays. Like, I've never seen anything like that in real life.
I had a friend group that had a name, but we were given that name
But,
by a
yeah, but
teacher.
okay. But was that something
and
that like other kids called you?
Over time, because so we were called the Lunch Bunch. It was co-ed. There were boys.
Right off
Sorry,
the
I'm
bat,
just...
this is so Babysitter's Club coded.
Oh, it was just because we like ate in the teacher's classroom. We had a cafeteria,
so
but it was like
sweet.
So small. And I think by like senior year, other kids knew that we were like called that, quote unquote.
Yeah.
I don't know. My high school was so dorky. We did not have like popular girls, or like the popular girls we did have were genuinely nice and just pretty. Middle school was not like that, of course, but my high school is the opposite of drama.
I think part of the reason these books felt so life and death to me was because in seventh grade, I really had zero friends,
yeah.
like at all. And so I was reading these books as like a manual and was like, surely these will teach me the way. And really, they couldn't have been steering me like further in the other direction. And it's so funny because I went back to school in Maryland for the eighth grade. And that's really kind of like when I like took the click addendum and started applying more like, I want to be like Amanda Bynes and Sydney White mentality. And I think that's where like I started to like find my actual inner self. It's sad because obviously I knew even at the time that the intention for these was not to like show you how cool these like mean girls were. But it's so sad that like when you're a middle school girl and so much is changing around you and nobody is being nice at any corner. I'm sure I wasn't nice to people too. It's just so sad because they just want to fit in. They just want to have like a few friends, and it's like unnecessarily difficult.
Yeah. Yeah. Seventh grade was what a nightmare. I
Brutal.
wouldn't go back.
No,
But
you
I
could
think
not.
just for nostalgia's sake, some of the big brands that, because there were, at least where when I was in high school, it was Vera Bradley, it was berries.
North Face was a big thing. I remember North Face was huge. Abercrombie was the like end all be all. And there was like tiered. Abercrombie was the big one. Aeropostale was like the lowest level. You had to like be wearing at least one of those. If you weren't wearing Aeropostale at bare minimum, why are you even bothering?
That's so funny because I was like, oh, we didn't really have this in middle school. And then I'm like, no, in middle school, it wasn't like these girls, like, whatever, but it was Aeropostale. It was Abercrombie and Fitch. It was
Hollister. You had to like go into a dark room that smelled like 17 candles burning at once, pull like 3-layered tank tops out of a pile and hope that it would look good together. That was our actual version of this. That was the attainable middle school girls active living nightmare. And now those things are coming back into trend.
Yeah, I wore, when I was in middle school, I wasn't wearing bras yet, but I was wearing these tank tops from Target that had like an additional fold over the boobs with like an elastic band underneath.
Yes.
So it was like halfway between. So yeah, I was wearing a layered tank top every single day.
I remember that like there was a specific way that you had to put them on, and like the bottom layer tank top had to be like a colorful one, like a hot pink or a teal, and then the next one would be like a lace sheer, like barely there, cami. Yeah. And then you would wear like a V-neck t-shirt over top of all of it, and like all three of those, you would be so hot. It would be like an 80 degree early September day, but you would be like, this is the look. And then low-rise jeans, which I still have war flashbacks about. What's that meme? That's like, it was Coachella. Like,
I know by the end of high school, everyone was wearing sleeveless puffer vests, which I never, ever understood.
Yeah, I've never understood a vest. They just seem unpractical to me.
No, the arms are the coldest parts. The only person I've seen who like really can pull off a vest is, we had an English teacher for most of high school who would often wear vests. Like, he was fucking Wallace from Wallace and Gromit, and we loved him. He was perfect. So it worked for him. But I mean, I have one vest because it's cute and it's got rabbits on it, like stars and moons.
I had a few North Faces, but there were like different variations of them. Like, I had a white, really soft one that was like, I don't even know. This like couldn't have been keeping me that warm. But then there were like the fleecier ones. And I have one of those in like a bright, like aqua blue. We really just were wearing anything back then.
I remember mine. I had like a standard black one, but like the zipper and the lettering was like bright teal or something. And
Yeah.
I remember it being like a furnace inside that, and it got so gross so fast. Like, I have really long hair. I had longer hair then, and I shed like a monster. So, and it would all clump up at the armpits. So there'd be
Oh,
these
that's so
giant
funny.
clumps of hair.
Oh my gosh. Uggs, of course. And there were different variations of Uggs. Like, you know what's so interesting to me is like you had to at least have like the classic length Ugg or the tall, and the tall was like the preferred length. And if you wore the ankle Ugg, it was like a faux pas. But now those are the trendy ones. And I'm like, what is going, like Gen Z and Gen Alpha, I'm just like, your trends like are so interesting to me as a former teenager.
And I loved how your Uggs would inevitably develop this like weird squashed tilt to it, where like your heel was in the tube of it and like sticking
So,
out
like,
over
foam
the back of the
bottom
actual
of
heel.
it could never like hold up the weight. And so they would become like the Leaning Tower of Pisa.
Yes, I remember.
Like,
I don't know
cave
if
in
I actually had a pair of Uggs, but I know I had an off brand. I had a lot of like off brand stuff.
Okay. Well, in true click form, give me your current state of the union.
Oh, so Massey ends a lot of her chapters with what's in and what's out. Ooh. Oh, you go and I'll think of them. You go.
Oh, okay. What's in? What's in for me currently? Walks with my dog. In for me currently, travel. I'm about to do like a lot of different trips. And I've been into thrifting. Thrifting has been in for me really a lot lately. I've been wearing a lot of blue. A blue has been in for me. What's out? I would say like butter yellow. I'm like over it. I'm over butter yellow. Can't tolerate it anymore. Staying inside for the weekend, that's out for me at the moment.
Oh, wow.
Been
Big.
like trying to get out more. And then oh, Erin, how could I forget? Charm bracelets are in.
Yeah, I was gonna say it. That's in.
That's
That's
in.
definitely in.
Okay, I think that's all I got.
Okay. I feel like out is easier to start with. Labubus, so out for me. I
Oh,
never liked them.
100% agree. Labubus hurt. I'm over them.
I'm a big collector person, but Labubus are ugly. They're just ugly. And love though going to the mall and like counting how many I see.
Yeah, there's just like, I don't know, it went from being the item of the moment to being like so deeply unchic.
Well, and they must get dirty. That's why I can't really do
Yeah.
keychains, especially things that you really value. Like there are keychains, calico critters, but those things are gonna get so filthy so fast, and that's not why I have them.
That's so reasonable. What else is on your list?
Oh, in casting me in things, that's manifesting. In is old Hollywood magazines for me.
Ooh.
In is, oh, I need another scented candle, but I'm so picky about smells generally. So,
That's
and
so real.
novelty candles, things shaped like other things, is always in for me.
You know what I think you would love? That's like very in tune with Glambition, Kristen's like fake business in the book. I have been really in to going to these like candle making workshops where you make your own scent. They're so much fun. I bet you could find one by you that you would really like. And you could name it Glambition in memory of this episode.
And then out, I would say, oh, you know what is out to me? Glass doors and walls in offices, because right now I'm an office admin and part of my job is cleaning that those things. Impossible. They will never
Oh,
be clean. They will never, ever, ever be clean.
so true. Bring back closed concept spaces.
Bring back closed concept spaces, especially because like our biggest conference room is all glass, and no, they don't want me looking in there. I know they don't want me reading their PowerPoint presentations.
Right.
No, it's okay to have secrets.
So true.
Maybe that's the end for me.
Okay.
In is being nice to your assistants. That's what I
Oh
got.
yeah, always in to be nice to your assistants.
Yeah.
Please be nice to your administrative assistants. Please, we're begging. Don't be a Massey block to your assistants.
No. Oh my goodness. Yeah. Well, would you consider it required reading?
Here's the thing. I would consider it, you know how like books end with those like questions for discussions that your
Yes.
teacher should ask. I think this should be required reading, but it should also be mandatory to have like meaningful discussions about it afterwards. Because I think if left unchecked, it's very easy for it to be misinterpreted. And I think it was clearly by a lot of children.
I know Lisa Harrison is, I don't think she's updated her website in like 3 years, but at least at the time was running like workshops for young kids and parents to be like, don't be mean, which
Yeah.
feels like
And that's
retribution in a
responsible.
nice way.
Yes. That's like very responsible. And I think that was always her intention. Like, to be fair to Lisa Harrison, I don't think she ever wrote these books as like a missive to get girls to be meaner to each other. But I
Oh, yeah.
think that like when these conversations are not being moderated, it's very easy for them to
Oh,
spiral
yeah,
out of control.
absolutely. I agree. It's not required for me, but I sure had a fun time. Yeah.
Oh yeah, they're pure camp.
Yes, it's like cotton candy eating it. Yeah.
Yeah. What a tasty little morsel for a middle school mind.
Well, I know we're running out of time. Is there anything you'd like to plug now that we've done it?
I don't have anything to plug, but as always, please think of me when you're writing or pitching packets or really casting your writer's room. I would be happy to help you out however I can.
Hell yeah, hell yeah. All right, well, I'll turn it off there.
All right.